Greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good morning, and the presence of the Spirit is here. And, you know, my daughter is learning to play the violin, and she's learning all different kinds of pieces on the violin. And so, but when you hear the hymns played, it truly gives the name of your group, meaning the Heavenly Strings, because they're playing heavenly music. For a call to worship, I've chosen to read from Psalms, very familiar to all of us, has impact in our lives. I think we can relate to this psalm very much. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us continue our service with the singing of hymn number 4, O Worship the King.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you at this time asking for your blessing, that you would be with us throughout this service, throughout this day, our lives. We know that we need to be repentant almost continually. We know that in spite of ourselves, you use us to your good. May we continue to offer ourselves, and know that you are in and of all things, and that you love us in spite of ourselves. We thank you again for the lives and the life that you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen.
For offertory, we'll be reading out of section 56, verse 5a through c. Woe unto the rich man that will not give your substance to the poor, for your riches will canker your souls. And this shall be your lamentation in the day of visitation, and of judgment and of indignation. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and my soul is not saved. Woe unto the poor man whose heart are not broken, whose spirits are not contrite, and whose bellies are not satisfied, whose hands are not stayed from laying hold upon other men's goods, whose eyes are full of greediness, who will not labor with their own hands. As the scripture would remind us, is that, that whether you're rich or poor, we all must needs be willing to give no matter how much or little we may have, and to be aware of greediness and covetousness of what others may have. Would you bow with me? Our Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all that being able to be here this day and be able to worship you. Mike, as he gives his message, that it may be edifying to both soul and body of all those who are here. And the money that is given are collected here in, for this offertory that might be used according to what that was have that may need be used for those in need. And in Jesus' name I ask thee, amen.
My scripture this morning comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 25, beginning with verse 1. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Thank you, girls. It was beautiful. One of my favorite songs to sing around a campfire. I love you, Lord. The only problem is it ended too quickly. I could have listened to that for a long time. A sweet, sweet sound in your ears. On May 24th, 1883, the Brooklyn Bridge was opened for traffic. At the time, it was the longest suspension bridge in the world. And it was the only bridge at that time to span across the East River. It, of course, connects Brooklyn with New York City. The problem is, when they got this bridge completed, after much work, much expense, the general public was a little skittish to cross over this great bridge. In fact, a week after it had opened, a woman was walking up the steps to the bridge and tripped, which caused another woman to scream, which caused many people to be fearful. And there was much panic, and chaos ensued. And many crowds of people rushed through narrow passageways to get off that bridge. And unfortunately, there were 12 people that lost their lives that day. All because of fear and the lack of trust. One year later, the great circus showman by the name of P.T. Barnum, you may recognize the name from the Barnum and Bailey Circus. That's what it's called, right? The Barnum and Bailey Circus. Well, he had an idea. He marched 17 camels and 21 elephants across that bridge to show people that it could be trusted. And so that's what he did. And it was led by his famous elephant called Jumbo. And those animals crossed the bridge, and everybody witnessed it. And they saw that the bridge could be trusted. You know what's interesting is that the weight of those animals was minuscule to what the bridge could hold. But that's what the people needed to see. And it worked. And once again, the bridge could be trusted and to be used. And it still stands today, used by many, many heavier vehicles. Are you a trusty person? Are you a trusted person? We exercise trust every day of our lives. Tom here, he's a pilot. He certainly uses his trust in his instruments. And I'm assuming that before you take off, you verify that trust every time to make sure that everything is working properly and that those that are in that plane can trust Tom as they fly in the air. When I turned 30, I decided to jump out of a perfectly good airplane. And haven't done it since. But I enjoyed it. But on that day, I had to trust a lot of things. I had to trust the training that I went through. The airplane that took me up. The pilot. I had to trust my parachute. And especially the guy that packed it. I wasn't there to witness it. I don't know who packed it. But I trusted him. I trusted the people that were on the ground speaking into my headset, telling me what I needed to do to safely return back to that airport. My trust was challenged that day. Maybe you can remember something you did for the first time, where your trust was tested in someone or something. Our trust increases with experience and repetition. A few weeks ago, we had the opportunity at Mountain Camp to go to the Garden of the Gods in Colorado Springs. And we did some rock climbing. And that was the first time that I had ever attempted to do that outside of the gym. Again, we trusted our harnesses, our ropes, the anchors, the people that were belaying us. And it's interesting, there were many different paths we could take up that rock. Some of them I could have done without the ropes. And then each time I went up, I challenged myself a little more. And most certainly on that last climb, as the rock got steep and there wasn't hardly anything to hang on to, I totally depended on that rope. And that person that was belaying me. And it was interesting, the kids, there were several that at the beginning of the day, they were not going to do that. They were quite content just watching. But before the day's end, every single one climbed that rock. It's amazing what a little encouragement and confidence will do to us. Trust is very important in all of our relationships. It's essential in our marriages, our families, our schools, and our church. It's hard to restore once it has been betrayed. There are several enemies to trust. Obviously, dishonesty, selfishness, pride, all these things Satan uses to chip away at our trust. See, he knows that if he can break down the trust that we have one with another, that eventually we will start to distrust God. And he's been doing this from the very beginning. He wants to destroy the church. He wants to destroy anything that we have our trust in. As we all know, we in our pockets, Some of us have change and dollars. And on every one of those, it says what? In God we trust. That was adopted as our nation's motto in 1956. Dwight D. Eisenhower was president. This next part truly amazed me. It says that it passed both the House and the Senate unanimously without any debate. Wow. That's a miracle. We consider what's going on today. All of our coins have borne that motto since 1938. And many coins much earlier than that. It was first found on the 2-cent piece in 1864. In our national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner, the fourth stanza, we find the words, "In God is our trust." Earlier this year, the governor of Florida mandated that the motto must be displayed by all public schools in a prominent location. That's encouraging, isn't it? And if polled, most Americans would agree to have that phrase as our motto. There have been many lawsuits brought to erase it. And fortunately, at this time, all have failed. However, just 4 years ago, in a suburb of the city of St. Louis, there was an effort for this motto to be posted on in some public property. And they were all ready to move forward with the plan, and it only took the voice of one atheist to squash it. We need to be aware of the work of our great adversary, knowing that he is attempting but will not succeed in destroying our trust in God. Some of our distrust is warranted. You know, we are called to use our good judgment. There's good reason that we shouldn't trust. And we know this in some individuals based on track record and the things that they say and proclaim. But for us, do you know how important it is for us to maintain our trust in one another? We cannot give anyone a reason to distrust us. You know, people are watching us. They're watching us carefully. And we are called to be good representatives or agents of the kingdom. People are watching us. And how do we keep our trustworthiness? By being honest. Are we honest with one another? Are we humble? Do we take responsibility when we are in the wrong? Do we swallow our pride and ask for forgiveness to those that we have offended? We must be quick to forgive slow to anger. We've all heard that. Sounds pretty easy. But when we do something stupid, sometimes our human nature takes over. We try to rationalize our way out, try to look at things differently to make ourselves look better. See, that's where the selfishness comes in, our pride. When we cannot take responsibility for the things that we have done, we must love as Jesus loved. We should be well versed in Scripture. Do you trust in the Word of God? I don't know how many times I have heard someone say to me, "Mike, those scriptures were written so many years ago by so many different authors, sometimes years after the history took place. How can you trust such a document?" See, just one little chip away. If Satan can get people to distrust the Word of God, then what do we have? We have the rod of iron. I just love that analogy, that testimony experience that Lehi and Nephi had. That rod of iron is so important for us to trust in, to hold, to grasp onto, to carry us through the mists of darkness that most surely will come our way. Do we treat it lightly? I know I don't give it the respect that it deserves. There are people watching. Many of us have, most of us have made covenants. The Lord expects us to keep those covenants and promises. And when we don't, we not only hurt the people that we have betrayed, but we hurt ourselves. And most importantly, we can affect the work of the kingdom. However, we know in the Doctrine and Covenants we're reminded that His work will not be frustrated. Isn't that the truth? In spite of what we do, His work will carry on. Doctrine and Covenants 2:1a, "The works and the designs and the purposes of God cannot be frustrated. Neither can they come to naught, for God doth not walk in crooked paths." Remember that it is not the work of God that is frustrated, but the work of men. I was reminded this week of several hymns, and I've got to say, I was really pleased with the first hymn that we sang this morning. "Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in Thee do we trust, nor find Thee to fail." And in hymn 380, "I would be true, for there are those who trust me. I would be pure, for there are those who care. I would be strong, for there is much to suffer. I would be brave, for there is much to dare. I would be brave, for there is much to dare. The Lord has entrusted us with the fullness of the gospel. Have you thought about the importance of that? And this gospel is not just for us to lust upon ourselves. It's not for our pride, for our ego, saying that we have the fullness of the gospel. It's for us to share. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We are to be lights into this world. And how often we shy away from sharing the most beautiful gift that God has given us. Why is that? Are we afraid? Are we not trusting in God? That His message is for everyone. No matter where they come from or what they have been through. I have always said that I'm one of the world's worst salesmen. Probably because a lot of things I tried to sell as a kid were not all that impressive. And, I'd always say, well, I'm kind of selling this stuff for a fundraiser. You don't have to buy any, you know, that we get. But when we have the most beautiful message entrusted to us, how can we not share that? So we are to trust in the Lord and not in the arm of flesh. In Jeremiah 17:5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and the man whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. One of my favorite scriptures is found in Proverbs chapter 3. Some of you know this by heart. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Not some of it, all of it. And lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Our wisdom, The wisdom of man is foolishness. It's foolishness. No matter who we talk to that claims to be all wise and all knowing, it's foolishness compared to the knowledge of God. 2 Nephi chapter 12, verse 37. And blessed are those who hearken unto my precepts and lend an ear unto my counsel. For they shall learn wisdom. For unto him that receiveth, I will give more. And from them that shall say, we have enough, shall be taken away, even that which they have. Cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm, or shall hearken unto the precepts of men. This next part's important. All of it's important, but listen up. Hearken unto the precepts of men, save their precepts shall be given by the power of the Holy Ghost. See, that's what we can trust in. Woe be unto the Gentiles, saith the Lord God of hosts, for notwithstanding I shall lengthen out mine arm unto them from day to day. They will deny me. Nevertheless, I will be merciful unto them, saith the Lord God, if they will repent and come unto me. For mine arm is lengthened out all the day long, saith the Lord God of hosts. You know, I don't know if you've witnessed, but very small children oftentimes exercise a great deal of trust. Have you noticed that? More so than the older children or adults, because they've had fewer reasons to doubt. The older we get, the more times we have fallen, the more times we have been hurt in many ways, and the more distrustful we can become. But maybe this is one reason why the Lord calls us to be as little children. For of such is the kingdom. He is calling on us to simply trust. He will take care of us in times of need. Of course, there are many stories in our scriptures that remind us of this. Think of Noah. The Lord helped him build that incredible ark for a rainstorm that had never been seen before or since. Moses, trusting the Lord to guide those children of Israel to the promised land through the Red Sea on dry ground. David, trusting that the Lord would help him defeat the giant, Goliath, that everyone else was fearing. His trust was in the Lord. Didn't care what the outcome was going to be, Lord was going to take care of him. And he certainly did. Daniel, as he's thrown into the lion's den. Think of Job. All the things that Job suffered. And Job's friends were coming to him saying, Job, just curse God and die. And he would not. In Job 13 and 15, these are his words. Can't get much more trusting than this. He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Though he slay me, there's no denying Job's trust. But I will maintain mine own ways, not the ways of my friends that are telling me to curse God, but mine own ways before him. We learn of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their Jewish names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You know the story? The Babylonians overtook Jerusalem. And they took many young men to Babylon. And Daniel and these three men were taken. And you know the story about King Nebuchadnezzar and how Daniel interpreted his dream. And because of that, Daniel was put in a position of power, of leadership. And along with him, he brought his three friends. And they too were put in positions of leadership. And this King Nebuchadnezzar built an image of gold. And it wasn't a small thing. It was probably about 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide, pure gold. And he put out a decree that when the people would hear music, and it's real specific on what type of music, said when they would hear the sound of the cornet, which is kind of a trumpet, a flute, a harp, the sackbut, which is kind of a trombone-shaped instrument, the psaltery, which is a stringed instrument that was plucked, the dulcimer, another stringed instrument. It mentions these several times. But whenever these instruments would be played, the king commanded his people to bow down and to worship this image of gold. And of course, these three men did not want to do that. And you know, that testifies of their trust in their God. You know, they could have quietly found places to bow down and maybe not be seen by others. But they chose not to, and they took a stand. And they were discovered. And they were taken to King Nebuchadnezzar. And it says that he had great rage and fury because of what they did. How dare they deny my command? And of course, the ruling was that if they were found not worshiping, they were thrown into a fiery furnace that same hour. The king wasn't messing around. And so they were brought before the king. And they told him about their God, and he says, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? And they said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it so be our God in whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They were firm. They had their trust in the right place. And of course, that angered the king. Made the fire 7 times hotter. Had the strongest men bind them in their clothing. Threw them into this fiery furnace. And it was so hot that the men that threw them in were destroyed. The king approached this furnace and he asked those around him, didn't we throw 3 men into this furnace? He said, I see 4. And they said, it is true, king. There were the 3 men and what appeared to be the Son of God, unbound, walking in the midst of that fiery furnace. They came out. Their hair was not even singed. Their clothes did not even smell like smoke. What a miracle. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver them after this sort. You know, would have been really easy, like I said, for those 3 men to find a secret place, you know, and try to avoid confrontation. But the Lord used their faith to have great witness way beyond what they could have done themselves. Aren't we this way if we but trust in the Lord and are willing to share His good message that has come to us? Do you find yourself in a fiery furnace at times? We may feel like that. And what is your response? You know, we should count it a blessing when we find ourselves tried. For the Lord chastens His people. Consider Job again. Job was described as a perfect and upright man. He didn't deserve all that he got. But because of his faith, the Lord blessed him. And you know the rest of the story. None of us are immune to trials. And it's because God loves us that He is trying us. Mosiah chapter 11, verse 23. Nevertheless, the Lord seeth fit to chasten His people. Yea, He trieth their patience and their faith. Nevertheless, whosoever putteth his trust in him, the same shall be lifted up at the last day. Yea, and thus it was with this people. For behold, I will show unto you that they were brought into bondage, and none could deliver them but the Lord their God. None. Yea, even the God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob. And it came to pass that he did deliver them, and he did show forth his mighty power unto them, and great were their rejoicings. Like I said before, I'm not aware of any miracle that wasn't first preceded by a great trial. We are given these trials for strength and as a witness and as a testimony of our love and trust in our Creator. I am trusting Thee, Lord Jesus. The words of Alma to his son Helaman. Behold, thou art in thy youth, and therefore I beseech of thee that thou wilt hear my words and learn of me. For I do know that whosoever shall put their trust in God shall be supported in their trials and their troubles and their afflictions and shall be lifted up at the last day. And he goes on to say that I have been supported under trials and troubles of every kind. And in all manner of afflictions, yea, God has delivered me from prison, from bonds, and from death. Yea, and I do put my trust in Him, and He will still deliver me. In closing, I want to read a few words from a hymn that kept coming to mind. I kept singing in my mind this week. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. And from the words of David, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in Thee. Yea, in the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. They that trust in the Lord and Mount Zion cannot be removed, but abide forever. This is my prayer, that in all of our dealings, one with another, that we give no one an excuse to distrust us, and especially that which we represent, the people of God. It's a great responsibility, and we know with great responsibility we have a lot to be responsible for. And I just hope that we will shed that light and share that gospel message with all those that the Lord brings to our attention.
Thank you, Mike. Let us close with hymn number 312, The Voice of God is Calling. Hymn number 312.
God, our eternal Heavenly Father, we ask Thee in Thy Son's name to set our heart at this time that we might depart this building and this place of worship, that we might remember the words that our servant has placed upon our hearts this day, and I pray that You would continue to remind us of those words as we go through the week ahead, that we share what You have been given, we have been given, that we also, Father, seek repentance. For truly, there is much need for repentance in the lives of all those who are here and all those that are around us. And may we always be reminded of Thy Son, who makes all things possible. And it is in the name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that I ask these things. And I ask it in His blessed name, even Jesus. Amen.